Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth from PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the Brat Lady, or the inventor of the hashtag More Vegetables Than a Vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, and Real Like Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size, and self-love, and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Valentine from PaleoMom.com. I'm the New York Times best-selling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and views, where Sarah and I catch up, you get to listen to our gossip.
So, Stacey, there is no way that this can be anywhere near as epic as it was supposed to be for a PaleoFX Roundup show.
It's really painful, too, because we have historically pulled that off, and we're close to pulling it off. But we had some technical difficulties after we spent an hour at midnight recording a show with a whole bunch of fun, drunk people. You were fun, but not drunk. It would have been awesome, but it'll just be a memory that lives in our head.
Yes, and that the whole world will not know how awesome it was.
Probably a good thing. I mean, if we're being honest.
So as the only non-drunk person on that recording, I can tell you there were a few times where I thought, I don't think Stacey would have said that if she was sober. It was one of those things that, like, you know, so what we did is we, in the house that we rented with, like, a bunch of people for PaleoFX, we had, like, our housemates and whoever was around, like, do a big, like, sit around the kitchen and chat about PaleoFX and all of our favorite things, kind of, like, way of rounding out the conference. And even, like, the people who kind of entered partway, they were drunk. It wasn't just like we started with everybody drunk. It was like drunken people kept coming in. And as the sober one...
that's what you do at a paleo conference.
Apparently. And so as the sober one, I was like, wow, this is epic. Like, I was having so much fun listening to all the drunken people. I mean, say really nice, neat, and engaging things and actually have some really great observations about PaleoFX. And it was really fun. But it was just one of those, like... take all of these people who are normally relatively reserved and make them really uninhibited and then record a podcast. And for a once a year special PaleoFX treat podcast, it would have rocked. But instead, you and I are both sober and home and not surrounded by like eight other drunken people right now.
That's true. I'm sober. Although I'm a little bit drunk off endorphins because I just finished my own little, like, home wad 2 minutes ago. That was quite intense. And I texted you to tell you I was ready and was like, yeah, I'm going to be out of breath. I said something different, but I'm not drunk, so I won't say what I said.
If you were drunk, you totally would have said what you said.
Totally would have, but I'm not, so I won't.
And as an also sober person, I will respect that and not repeat it anyway. Yeah, so I guess we can have now like a very sober and home, having had at least one good night of sleep, reflection over the conference, which actually might be more useful for our listeners anyways. I had an amazing time. I hardly saw you. I think I saw you for that 1 hour we drunk casted and then like maybe five more minutes other than that.
Yeah.
Amazing time.
Yeah, I had an amazing time. I saw your newsletter today, and I agree with you that I felt like a lot of the glitches that we've experienced as presenters in previous years really got ironed out, and I didn't see hardly any of that at all. I will say, of course, I seem to always get the short stick, and for whatever reason, I don't know if you know this because you weren't there, but the ingredients to our cooking demo were not there. So, fortunately, we knew a lot about broth and soup, and so we just spent that time talking about how to make good broth and the health benefits of broth, and then our ingredients arrived about 10 minutes from the end, and so Matt kind of got it started. But overall, I just felt like everything was really organized and put together, which I don't know how it's possible to make such improvements in that arena and also grow that conference the way that it grew this year.
That was so amazing to me because, like, you know, this year I felt like every person I asked for directions knew where to send me, had really good directions. Everybody, like, all the volunteers really knew everything that was going on. The schedules were, you know, easily, you know, visible. There were maps visible. Like, I just, the technical, like, for me, all the ingredients for my cooking demo were ready as I had requested them. I had everything that I needed. Just even, like, getting my slides up and getting mic'd before things, like, everything was just super, super smooth. The speaker's room was a delightful place to hang out for the whole 20 minutes I spent there. The vendor floor was amazing. Like, I just kind of felt like all of the little technical things were like, it was figured out. Meanwhile, it was what, like three times the size of the year before?
It at least twice, if not three times. And it wasn't just like there were more people, right? There were maybe 2 to 3 times more vendors, which is a lot to coordinate.
I think we took up double the square footage too in the conference center.
And there were more stages, and this year they did live streaming, which they haven't done before. There were just so many things that were added and improved upon this year. It really was a positive reflection for me on how far the community has come. I mean, to look at, you know, somebody said to me, gosh, you know, I think it was Arish, our publisher. I had a lot of good conversations with Arish because I was trying to hang out at the book table a little bit so that if people wanted to get books signed, you know, you just happen to be standing there or whatever. So I was talking to Arish and I told him, and I truly feel this way. I highly doubt that Arish listens to this podcast or that Rob Wolf listens to this podcast. But
Rob and Arish, this one's for you.
Heart you both. We were talking about how I believe that the paleo movement would not be what it is today if Arish had not met Rob at like a Muay Thai gym years and years and years ago. Yeah. Because at the time, our publisher Arish was a ghostwriter for, I think, MMA people. He was an author himself and he ghost wrote things. And he wanted to get into publishing, but, you know, he wasn't a publisher at the time. And Rob Wolf had studied under Lauren Cordain, and Lauren Cordain's book, The Paleo Diet, had come out. And, you know, we talked about this at our joint talks. But, you know, Lauren Cordain's original book, which is the one that I read, got twisted and changed by his publisher without really his consent or approval, but that's kind of how most book contracts work. And it got changed to include things like Diet Coke and canola oil are okay, which wasn't his intention at all. And so Rob was really looking for someone who would allow him to publish the book he really wanted to write, which would be controversial and, you know, break the boundaries of what people believed, you know, to be the truth at the time. I mean, I think it's hard for people coming into paleo today to even fathom how very different it was over 5 years ago and how, you know, drastic a statement it was to say some of the things about paleo that we say today, like saturated fat is good for you. You know, now there's studies and the FDA has come out and said we're wrong and blah, 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 and you have more things to support it. But back then, we knew that Ansel Keys was wrong and we had, you know, mediocre backing for it, but it wasn't as well understood as it is today. And so I truly honestly believe that if Arish and Rob had not met each other and agreed, okay, I'm going to publish your book and you're going to write the book that you want to write, I don't think that paleo would look the same as it does today. Because I would think that there would be individual people who, for example, Mark Sisson, right? Like Mark Sisson still would have gone on to do what he did, but I think it would be a brand rather than a movement. And that's really what I saw at the conference was a movement, a community of people who had come together, you know, with a bazillion different brands represented, a lot of whom have the goal of really changing people and, you know, helping improve lives. And, you know, I did say when I was inebriated, and I will say again, I do think that there are some companies out there who, you know, see paleo as a cash cow opportunity to sell some stuff, who may or may not have the right intentions. But I think overall, it was unbelievably amazing to see a community of people, both, you know, people living the lifestyle and vendors trying to cater to those needs who are really trying to make a difference. And I just feel like, you know, the community is amazing. And I know you had the experience and I had the experience, but whether it's that people believe that we're different than we are in real life, because I know you and I know me, and I know that we both go poop on a toilet like everybody else, but it was the first year that...
Wait, do you have proof?
No. I don't take pictures. Not, you know how I feel about it. but it was the first year that people used words like celebrity and famous and, you know, things like that that really make me personally uncomfortable, because I just feel like it's my goal to inspire people and to be myself. And I've been really fortunate that I get to do both of those things. And so, you know, it was kind of surreal for me to see this huge community of, I think we decided it was like 3,000 people at this conference, a lot of whom seemed to, you know, believe that some of us in the community are more than just regular people, which was, it's very odd and uncomfortable for me, much like compliments. It's just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Compliments and eye contact and
yes,
hugs.
And hugs. They're
the
all
trifecta
the
to make Stacey feel uncomfortable. Make eye contact, then give her a hug, and then compliment her.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Can you imagine?
My brain would explode.
I think you would. Yeah. I was going to say implode. I kind of felt like it was more of an implosion.
Probably.
Thing.
Definitely. Yeah.
So one of the things that happened for me this conference was that I did not get for the 5 days straight, like the 2 travel days and the 3 days of the conference, I did not get 5 minutes that were by myself alone, like without something to do. Like it was so ridiculously busy from the moment I woke up in the morning to the moment I went to bed ridiculously late. And it was fantastic. I mean, I just kind of felt like I was like riding high the entire weekend, and I was just going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And I've literally made the joke now that like next year I'm going to have to request nap time get put into my schedule just to make sure that I have like a little bit of downtime, because I was so busy. I didn't get to do one of the things that I really like to do when I'm there is just kind of wander around the exhibit floor and then say hi to the people who stop me, right? Like that's what I did last year. I spent a lot of time sort of wandering around, and then people, you know, hey, you're Sarah. Yes, I am. And then I have a question for you. Okay, go ahead, ask it. And I got a little bit of time to do that. And I certainly, you know, spent some time at the Victory Belt table, and I, you know, got to see some of the vendors that I formed a relationship over the last year or two. But I didn't get to do that as extensively as I wanted to. And I basically had my team out doing that, you know, in my place, because I knew that I couldn't. But it meant that, you know, when I was somewhere predictable, so when I was at the expert sessions or my talk or my cooking demo or at my book signing, that I was like, people were like, aha, I know where to find Sarah Ballantyne. And then it would just be like super concentrated, inundated with people, which was fun and fantastic, with only one exception. They were all really, really nice people. There was one jerk, just have to say, one very, very angry person.
I want to hear about that later.
Did I not tell you about the angry person?
No, just in text.
So, I mean, just to give you the Cliff Notes version that's appropriate for a podcast audience. So my talk, as we discussed last week, was on the potential adverse health effects of a ketogenic diet. And I presented a lot of scientific evidence. I summarized a lot of papers. The talk went really, really well. And just so that our listeners know, I am working on, I can't figure out if it's going to be one like ridiculously long blog post, or I'm going to break it up into pieces, but I'm working on a blog post that's going to basically summarize the points of the talk, and then also a PDF download of like research summaries and links to the original research of not just all the research I used in my talk, but like everything that I read in preparation for the talk. So there are things that were, you know, preliminary or the science wasn't clear and I kind of tangentially talked about it in my talk, but that's all going to be in this download. And I'm hoping it will be available by the end of the week, although that's it, or at least the first post of it, but that's really ambitious for how much I need to pull together. So I don't know if that's actually going to happen or it'll be early next week. But so I gave this talk and, you know, I knew that the ketogenic diet community is so passionate and very defensive. And it's they're defensive before they ever get criticized. And I don't, or maybe they get criticized more than I see them getting criticized, but they are very much a community that that's believes very, very strongly in what they're doing and what they're preaching. And so I knew that my talk wasn't going to change any of their opinions about a ketogenic diet, right? Like it wasn't a talk for them. And I know plenty of our audience are already sort of on the, you know, moderate carbohydrates are good bandwagon. And it wasn't even really a talk for them, right? Like it wasn't a talk for the people who are already like firm believers in keto or against keto. It was sort of for the people in the middle who are listening to both sides of the argument and are hearing, you know, passionate pros either way and not hearing cons. And especially because I think, you know, when we talk about moderate carbohydrate intake, we talk about blood sugar regulation and experimentation, and we give a range, and it is a very sort of like individual experimentation type concept. Whereas when the ketogenic diet community is explaining a ketogenic diet, it's pretty strict rules because there's not very much flexibility or you stop being in ketosis. And I think even what the ketogenic diet community would agree to is one of the worst things you can do is be eating an almost ketogenic diet, right? So then you get all of the worst effects of high fat consumption and low sort of the low nutrient consumption without the benefits of producing ketone bodies. So like, you know, they're really passionate about like this really strict and continuously measuring and making sure you're always in ketosis. And they'll even tell, you know, like the urine strips aren't enough. Like they've got this whole thing, but it's a really strict set of rules. And so I kind of feel like if you're in the middle and you're listening to this moderate carbohydrate intake, that sounds almost wishy-washy because there's not strict rules. And then you listen to these rules, which sounds really hard, but it comes with all of this like amazing propaganda of how amazing this diet is. And so what I was trying to do was address this one extreme of the ketogenic diet and fill out that, like fill out the infomercial, right? And give the side effects and potential adverse reactions, potential negative health effects. And you know, I talked about it last week, so I don't need to rehash all of it, but, you know, as I prepared for this talk, I was so surprised at the incredible wealth and diversity of adverse reactions reported in the scientific literature that I became really indignant that this isn't part of the public discussion on the merits of keto. And it's, in fact, completely dismissed. And what's happening is that community will have an excuse to ignore every single paper that reports an adverse reaction. And so that is exactly what happened when I finished my talk. I had about 20 or 25 people who had additional questions after I answered the audience questions. So we went outside of the stage area so that I could continue to answer these questions. And I had 24 people who had they weren't all like there to thank me. They all, I mean, some of them had just really thoughtful questions that weren't necessarily, you know, that were potentially like they still wanted to do a ketogenic diet, right? Like they weren't necessarily like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world, I'm not going to do it. But one man was really, really angry at me for doing my talk. And he was demanding the scientific, he wanted to see the scientific paper. And of course, like, I don't just keep it in my purse, right? Like it's not, It's not, I was like, I don't have it. But I told them exactly what I just said. Like, I'm working on a blog post series. It'll have all of the citations, and I'm going to put together this probably close to 50-page download that'll have research summaries and links to the original research so he can see. And so what happened was he kept asking the same question like over and over again. And he would interrupt me every time I tried to answer. And he was getting the other 24 people like really worked up on my behalf because he wouldn't let anyone else ask a question. And because he wasn't listening to my answer, to the point where I said at one point, like, I kind of think that there's nothing that I could say that's going to change your opinion. So I'm not quite sure why we're having a discussion. And then he started yelling at me. So a woman who had actually stopped me on Friday at the conference to tell me how thankful she was that I was doing this talk. And she shared her story with me. And she had basically been perfectly healthy and decided to try a ketogenic diet 2 years ago, just from hearing about how great it was and sort of like thinking it might improve her performance at the gym, right? Like not for any specific health goals, but just because she'd heard all of the, you know, purported benefits. And she tried a ketogenic diet and it destroyed her health. And 2 years later, she's still recovering from it. And she's really passionate about the dangers of a ketogenic diet. So she fortunately took over the conversation on my behalf, because I think she was, very frustrated at the lack of constructive discussion and back and forth, which was, you know, one of my goals for this presentation was to increase public discussion on a ketogenic diet. And, you know, with the exception of this one fellow, you know, in many ways it did, you know, a lot of people were, I think, under the impression that Jimmy Moore was really, really angry at me and was going to yell at me and be, you know, hateful and whatever. But
they
was.
They clearly don't know Jimmy if they ever thought that.
He was nothing but a gentleman. I don't think anything I said is going to make him change his opinions. But, you know, we did have a bit of a discussion about it, and he was nothing but respectful and friendly and loving. And so, you know, he was awesome, and he was exactly what you would hope from two people who have a difference in opinion of any topic, right? Like you can differ in opinions and still be respectful for each other. And Jimmy really, really demonstrated that publicly and wonderfully. But this one guy, he was mad. He was mad that I would dare.
I will go out on a limb here and say that if someone is that defensive about something, they should probably take a look at why they feel that way. You know, I feel very passionately that people need carbohydrate, right? Like, I'm that person who had a flare that I believe would not have. I don't believe that my Hashi's would have flared the way that it did if I had been eating a nutrient dense diet with carbohydrate to start paleo instead of very low carb intermittent fasting version, right? But that's not to say that my N equals one experiment that didn't work for me won't work for someone else. And I would never get in someone else's face and yell at them and get angry about anything if it's their body. Do you know what I mean? Like, even this is completely tangent, but this is what we do here on this show. There's a vegan kid in my son's preschool class, and that vegan kid is obviously taught to believe very strongly in his beliefs, right? Like, our kids know that they're paleo, but we use things like we eat nutrient-dense food, or we eat it because it's healthy, or vegetables and meat are good for you. Like, we don't push some propaganda on our kids. That's our personal choice. And there's this kid that is clearly has a different parenting philosophy in the classroom. And on quite a number of occasions at the dinner table, Wesley has informed us that he does not want to eat meat that day because he's a vegan. And we have to go through the questioning of, like, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? And ultimately it comes down to, he doesn't want to stop eating fish, chicken, and bacon. And so he didn't realize that's what vegan was, and he's going to eat meat. but like, it's clearly,
adorable. I'm just throwing that little bit of commentary.
Oh my gosh. In there. I know. It's like, but every time it happens, it's like this 20-minute ordeal, and Matt and I just like fist palm each to the face, and we're like, oh, this again. And it's because there's clearly someone who is like so defensive and vocal about the way that they feel that they're pushing it on other people. And I feel like this was also talked about in the paleo perfectionism panel that I sat partially through, that I thought was a fantastic panel. It had Jen Sinclair and Mark Sisson, among other people, and Michelle Norris was narrating. And it kind of started with saying, like, this we find this not to be a problem usually after people have been this way for a long time, right? That like once you've been, let's say, paleo or vegan or keto for a really long time and you're comfortable in what you're doing and you feel like this is right for me, I can encourage other people to try it and tell them this is why it works for me. But I don't find myself nearly even as evangelical about it as I was in that first year or two where I was like trying to push it on everybody and telling them why they needed to do it. And I just feel like this keto approach, there's a disconnect there, right? Where people are seeing that the N equals one, they feel like it's working for them. And, you know, I will stand by what I said last week and what I said in the comments on Jimmy Moore's Instagram, which is that I really genuinely hope that all of these people are getting their full nutritional panel workup for nutritional deficiencies, thyroid panels, leptin, and not just triglycerides, because that is not the only measure of health. But let's say that they are, and the N equals one is working really well for them, or they have a chronic disease that you mentioned that, you know, it's not, then by all means, like, or even if you're not going to take those tests and you just want to lose weight and that's a choice that you're making, like, go for it. But there's a disconnect in it works for you and not understanding that there are genuinely scientifically supported detrimental health effects that can happen to some people, especially women who proceed down this path. And this idea that, you know, you need to get in someone's face or you need to get so angry about it or you can't stand the idea of someone criticizing or questioning the belief leads me to believe that that belief isn't as strongly supported as you wanted it to be. Because if someone comes at me about paleo or someone comes at me about gluten-free or, you know, strength training, right? I get a lot of negative feedback from people about how I'm going to hurt myself with training heavy weights. Like, I feel comfortable and confident with people questioning me on those things because I know that I am able to support that with the science and my personal health. And if somebody else doesn't want to do those things, I'm not forcing them to, but I also don't, we don't need to be belligerent with one another, you know? And so I am not even remotely surprised that Jimmy was a gentleman. Jimmy has always been the most incredibly kind, nice, and genuine person that I can ever remember meeting in this community. I mean, it's a very small handful of people who I can always say, I can't remember ever saying a bad word about anybody else and who's always been, you know, kind and all that kind of thing. So I'm thrilled to hear that my expectation was met. And, you know, I can't say that I'm surprised that there were some people in the dissent, but I too was surprised in even what I was seeing on social media, because we had to leave for the airport and didn't get to stay for your talk. But, you know, the comments that I was seeing kind of flying in social media before you were still on the first 10 slides, yeah. which were like positive sides of keto, right? Like you were giving your, here's the positives about keto before you even got into, and here are the concerns. And people were already like, you know, I used to like her, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? This is...
Yeah. What was fascinating about looking, and I actually had to stop. So at first, you know, when I finished my slide, I was like really interesting to look at the social media because a number of people were in that audience and were posting, you know, a couple posts, you know, one or two slides, a couple posted a lot of slides, some with commentary, some without. And the polarizing effect that talk had. So when you scroll through the comments, there was either people who were like, you know, she's a discredit to whatever and, you know, full of hate and I should be very careful about checking my mail from now on type people. So there was like the really, really hateful mean comments, and then like the complete opposite, like super, super supportive. You know, this is a voice that needs to be heard. This is, you know, just adding to this discussion, you know. And like, I wasn't, you know, the point of my talk was not to say keto is, you know, this evil thing that nobody should touch with a 10-foot pole. My point was the science says there's some really strong therapeutic potential to this, but that like a drug that can be life-saving, there's additional effects that may or may not be wanted or beneficial. And we need to understand those in order to understand who and in what circumstances is this drug an appropriate drug. And then we need to watch out for the side effects and the adverse reactions. If you were on a drug, even if it's, you know, the drug that's going to save your life, there would be a list of things that your doctor will be watching for, or that you'll be sent home to watch for, so that if that drug's not working for you, you can get off it as soon as possible and minimize the damage that that drug could cause. And my point was that, you know, we know that the ketogenic diet is stimulating pathways that are the same pathways that, for example, anticonvulsant drugs and epilepsy stimulate, and that it's not the same as a nutrient dense, macronutrient balanced diet, right? It is stimulating pathways that are is unique in the diet world. There are no other diets that stimulate these types of pathways, and we need to understand it. And if you look at the body of scientific literature from nearly 100 years of studying a ketogenic diet, there is reason to be cautious. And to go from that statement of, you know, it's like, let's not get, I mean, basically I'm saying everyone calm down, let's not get carried away, and let's think this through. That was basically the entire message, right? And to go from that to, you know, the very, very hateful comments. And I guess, you know, those people were not the people that this talk was meant for. And I guess there was no way to give that talk without striking that nerve. But at the same time, I guess it means my talk was successful. And as I'm not a person who is very good at just letting criticisms and mean things just kind of wash over me, right? Like I'm not very good at just ignoring that stuff. I mean, some people are a little bit thicker skinned. I'm not. I can say to myself in a logical place, like, you know, what that one complete stranger with some, you know, handle that I could never identify their name, like what they say doesn't really matter. But at the same time, like it really hurts me. I got to spend an entire day cooking with Pete Evans. This is a total change of topic now. And I had so much fun. He was such an amazingly genuine and sweet and likable person. And we just had so much fun cooking and chatting and talking about the paleo diet. And we talked a little bit about how he's getting lambasted in the Australian media for basically supporting a paleo diet. I mean, that's basically what he's getting criticized for. He was a celebrity chef who went paleo, and now he's telling everybody about paleo, and he has one TV show that's not paleo and one TV show that is. And so he's getting just, you know, slammed for, you know, all kinds of just ridiculous things that if you could spend 5 seconds with this man in person, you would know that none of it has any kind of foundation in reality. And, you know, one of the things I said to him is like, you know, he said, like, it doesn't matter, right? It's just words. You know, he has a no comment policy. And he said, you know, it's that Australia has this very sort of British tabloid style media. And he has this great attitude about it. It doesn't matter. It's just words. People can see through it. And I said to him, like, I am so glad that you're the one then who is the target of these, because if it was me, I would be curled up in a little ball crying and hiding from the world, because I don't have that kind of ability see those kinds of criticisms and just ignore them. But at the same time, I don't like to engage because engaging is never good.
Okay. Let's talk positive.
Yes.
Other than Pete Evans, who did you meet this weekend for the first time that
I was like amazed and awed with? Well, Pete Evans is like number one on that list. Like check. I mean, that's like bucket list level, right? So I also got to meet and have a really, really good conversation with Dr. Kirk Parsley, Doc Parsley, or Navy SEAL, as we like to call him. And I had actually seen, he's got a really fantastic TED Talk that we should link to in the show notes about sleep and his experiences. So he's a retired Navy SEAL who then, after getting his MD, went to be a doctor treating Navy SEALs. And so the types of health situations that he's treating are sort of unique, and you kind of get these clusters of different types of problems, right? You get like PTSD and TBIs and sleep issues. And so he's talking about just how, I mean, his big thing is like get people to sleep properly. Like that's his passion. And that's one of my passions as well. Like I've probably talked about sleep once or twice on the show is all I'm saying. And so I got I was on an expert panel with him, and then we had this great conversation afterwards. And then we had like three more amazing conversations like throughout the conference, and we are such like so on the same page. We're sleep geeks is what we are. And then on my last panel of the conference, it's like an ask the expert panel, and he was like in the front row, and I said something about sleep, and he was like putting up his hands like, yeah. And it was just like so funny. It was like, okay, that's yeah. There's Kirk right there. I mean, Doc Parsley. So I really enjoyed connecting with him. I had a fascinating, amazing conversation also about sleep, ironically enough, with Dan Party of dansplan.com. And I've met Dan before and had great conversations with Dan before. So it was kind of like, hey, Dan, you haven't seen you since AHS. And we just like slid right back into like nerdy conversation. So that was also like my nerdy, like nitty gritty having fun. I had a really good conversation with Nora Jagoudis. I got to meet Amy Myers in real life for the first time. That was really, actually there's quite a few people I got to meet in person for the first time that I've connected with online over the last year. So that was very, very cool. I had about, I don't know, 5 minutes of conversation with Rob Wolf, maybe about five with Mark Sisson. Like it was kind of like I waved to Chris Kresser and never actually got to say hello. Like there was a lot of, I think everything was so busy that there was never a time to kind of like actually have those connections. I got to have, I got to visit a little bit with Terry Walls and with Esther Gokley. So like I got to have like the micro versions. Like it makes me want to have like a whole 3 days before and after the 3 days of PaleoFX just to like visit with these amazing people and network and just have like nerdy conversations. That was people wise. Do you want to say people wise and then we can talk vendor wise?
Sure.
Yeah. Who did you like really enjoy connecting with?
I really enjoyed connecting with Ashley and Everett. So Ashley is Live in Paleo and Everett is Paleo Fat Kid. And Everett took our photos. Was that like the most amount of time that you spent with Everett?
So after you left, we hung out. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no. And Ashley and Everett participated in our non-podcast.
Right.
I got quite a bit of time with them. And what was kind of neat is like, as they were leaving, it was like, so I missed out on working out with you guys, but we're going to do that next time. Yeah. Rock on. I'm going to be reading for you at the PaleoFX or the CrossFit regionals. And like, it was just, we bonded. I'm just saying we bonded.
Oh, good.
After you left and weren't interfering. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. I was interference. Well, also maybe the conference might have been interference because you got to hang out.
Conference.
Yeah, after the conference is over. Yeah. So I really enjoyed, we kind of like adopted them. We had such a full house, which is kind of like, that's how I like to live my life. Everybody knows that I have family live here all the time, and I have parties and potlucks, and I invite people to stay here all the time. Like, I just really like
hanging out. Okay. So, Stacey, it was very full, but I'm just saying, 7 people for 2 bathrooms is our max, and we are not doing more people next year. I'm just letting you know right now.
Listen, we're going to get a temporary porta potty and put it in the yard next year, and people can just pop up tents. It'll be great. No, it was awesome because I got to, you know, we love Russ from The Domestic Man. He's been on the show before. Both of us, I mean, Russ is kind of like my paleo family, the way you're my paleo family. Very close with Russ, so always love spending time with him. And he was deemed the most interesting man in paleo this year. And so I'm like...
He was deemed the most interesting man in paleo?
That's like a thing. Yeah, so I'm like, I know that. I've known that for a really long time.
He is extremely interesting.
And I'm so glad other people are starting to learn that, because he's an incredibly talented kitchen person. Like, I don't want to call him a chef, but like his recipes are unbelievably fantastic. I've never had a single one that wasn't amazing. And I know the effort and technique that go into the development of his recipes. So having him there, he cooked, you know, he prepped, Nicole from Merit and Fork. I enjoyed getting like her to meet everyone, 'cause she's kind of a new blogger that's local and comes and hangs out with us every Friday to work out. And I just think she's adorable and awesome. And I know that she enjoyed getting to meet everyone.
She cracks me up.
Yeah, she's hysterical.
Well, if you're listening,
she's totally listening. She's totally listening.
She is so much fun to be around. Like, she just makes like the mood. She just lightens it, right? Like, whatever it is. And she just brings it to now we're all going to laugh level.
She totally is. So she was on the last episode of Strong Women Radio. If people want to go like, listen, maybe someday we'll have her on the podcast, but she's just hysterical. Like, she's just awesome. And Sam, the paleo sitter who I've talked about before, came, and that was kind of her exposure to a big paleo scene. And I know she loved, you know, the conference and getting to learn and meet a whole bunch of people. It's interesting to me because she didn't know some of the people who I totally assumed that she would know. And I don't want to say who she did or didn't know, but,
she didn't know Rob Wolf. No,
but there were some people where I'd be like, this is so-and-so. And afterwards she'd be like, who are they? And I'm like, oh my gosh, really?
Really? You're that's, paleo. That's like, a name you should know.
That's totally a really like impressive person you just met there. Yeah. And so we also had Brooke from your team. I really enjoyed hanging out with Brooke. So, and then we had our annual potluck. We have the Sunday morning potluck where everybody comes and brings food. And I just shout out to Caitlin and Nabil from Grass-Fed Girl and Grass-Fed Chef, because Nabil made, you probably didn't eat it because you can't eat it, the most incredible poached eggs. Like, he told me that
Hollandaise sauce. I saw them and I felt extremely jealous.
Yeah. So there was roasted asparagus that Sam made, and then he made poached eggs and Hollandaise sauce. But I'm telling you, these poached eggs were the most incredible poached eggs I've ever had in my life. Now, granted, I got those eggs from like a local butcher shop and they were like local fresh eggs, which helps. But he says that the trick is putting in a ton of coconut vinegar. Like, he showed me the brand of the coconut vinegar that he uses. And he says that, like, you put in way more vinegar than you think you should, and it keeps the egg nice and tight. And so I am totally going to have Matt perfect the art of poached eggs, because his were just absolute perfection at that brunch.
They looked beautiful. I saw them and I was jealous. He offered me some and I had to say no.
Ashley and Everett really were like drinking the bowls of Hollandaise like they were soup as well, which was pretty funny. I mean, they didn't actually, but we were all teasing.
Is there photographic evidence of that? Because that would be awesome.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. So, and then Jen Sinclair, like, I got to hang out with Jen Sinclair a lot, and
I didn't even get to see her.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
No, there were
it was 3,000 people. Yeah, like there were so many people that I meant to see. So many people I meant to see and hang out with that I would just like see on the other side of the room and wave and be like, oh, yeah, I hope I see you later. And then I never did, you know?
There was a bunch of people I didn't even see at all. And there was a few people that it was like, oh, hey, give me a hug, I'm off too. And then I'll see you at, and then didn't see them. This is why I think I need like a whole extra day for just the social aspect.
I'll just be your mother here for a minute and say that had your presentation been finished when you got to PFX, you would have had a little more time to hang out, because I spent all day Friday. It was my day to just walk around the floor.
Well, I was filming a documentary. I was on an expert panel and did a cooking demo on Friday, and the speaker's dinner was Friday. So I'm just saying.
Yes.
It's not like I would have had a ton of time Friday either.
I know.
Yes. So to be fair, my presentation, I actually started it a month ago. It has been in the works nearly full time for a month. Like people, like if you've wondered why there's been so many guest posts on my sites, because I was working on that presentation, and it was just one of the most high pressure, intense presentations I have ever come up with. Now that it's done, I actually think that sort of now that I've given it, I want to refine it and sort of find another opportunity to give at least a version of it, not next year at PaleoFX because it's been done, but. Yeah, I mean, I've never put together a presentation. I've defended a PhD, and I've still never put together a presentation that was as stressful as that presentation. And I would have loved to have done my slides beforehand as well, but it just, like, there was not enough hours on this planet to get it done. And
I know you were prepared. You've done your research. I just have to be the mother that says, now, Sarah, if you'd had that done, you would have had more time to hang out.
Yeah. I think I managed well. I just didn't sleep is what really actually happened. It took away from my sleep time more than my hanging out time.
And those of you listening, the worst part was so you were trying to finish your presentation and we brought you, dairy-free ice cream from Lick, which is like the thing that we all do when we go to Austin is we get Lick and gelato, and we were all also adding tequila to that scenario, which you were not. You were being a good girl and focused on your slides, and I pulled out the mic and was just gonna like record us being silly, thinking that Matt was gonna like cut some parts of it into an actual show that we could record an intro to later and stuff like that. And you ended up coming out to eat your ice cream, and we were like, ah, the heck with it, we'll just record
make this a real show. Yeah.
And then as soon as it was done and I looked at the file, I could tell that even though I'd been watching it all along and I could see that it was recording, something had happened in the conversion. And so as soon as it was done, Matt and I both looked at each other and you were still in the room and we knew that that it was a problem. And I looked at him and I was like, do not say a word until tomorrow. Like, we've got to let her go to bed.
Also, like, I think we finished it at midnight and I think I still worked on my slides for like an hour and a half after.
Well, I knew you were going to work on your slides and I was like, I do not need to add the stress of like, I just wasted an hour, because I knew that's how you would feel about it. And so I was just like, we'll just tell her tomorrow.
It is probably the only thing that actually makes me angry is something that wastes my time.
Yeah.
Something that takes away time that I could spend on something productive. I mean, even something like time that I could spend relaxing or exercising or sleeping or spending time with my kids, like not necessarily working, but things that take away my time from everything else. It's been the biggest struggle for me in terms of doing everything I want to do and then also being really mindful of finding work-life balance. Like my biggest struggle is time management and how to, like, I'm really efficient with my time, but it's like how to use every minute in some way, even if it's a minute that's used in relaxation. So in something, if I have to, if something, you know, like I'm doing something and then I have to do it over again, that makes me angry. Like nothing else in the universe makes me angry. But I had a pretty good attitude about it when you told me, I'm just saying.
You did have a good attitude about it. And hopefully it's because we did have fun just like hanging out and talking. It's not like.
I think it was also largely because I was too exhausted to actually have any kind of adrenal response. So I slept for 11 hours last night. Like I got home and I kind of like I unpacked and I hung out with my kids and I tried to do my newsletter, but I couldn't focus on it. I ended up putting the kids to bed, showering because I was not clean, and then like went to like talk with my husband and I couldn't even like focus on his face, and he was like, are you asleep? I'm like, yeah, I kind of think I am. So I just was like, I'm gonna you go do something, I watch TV or whatever, I'm gonna sleep now. And I slept for 11 hours and I actually feel kind of like I could do it again.
Okay, let's talk about our favorite vendors. I'm going to go first. Yes. And I'm going to forget so many people. And I'm just going to apologize in advance. And also I'm going to say that there are some PaleoFX coupon codes that are active right now, and we will have Monica put them in the show notes. I and you have absolutely no idea what they are or what brands they are, but I know Monica's keeping track of them. So if they're still active, they'll be in the show notes of this, and they're temporary, so I would move on them quickly if you're interested. I know that Primal Life Organics and I think Vital Proteins, couple of companies had PFX codes. So, okay, who did it? Well, of course, Primal Life Organics. Like, I just love Trina. We love Trina. She's there. She's always there. Victory Builder Publisher. It's always great to see him. One Stop Paleo Shop, Jen from One Stop Paleo Shop, and I connected in, I guess, San Diego last year, and we've just had a really great relationship.
She was at AHS, do you remember?
That before must be where I met her. Yeah. And then I think I met
her
again.
She came to our signing at San Diego as well.
But. Okay. Yeah. So I love hanging out with her. And I went to the dinner, which you did not get to go to, with Hema of 10 Star Foods. And they've partnered together. So One Stop Paleo Shop will be exclusively offering 10 Star Ghee. They now have like a brown butter ghee, which I'm super excited about.
Did you try it?
So no, I'm just like excited about trying it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm just saying. Oh, yeah. Cause I have not tried it yet.
No, but I already,
it sounds amazing.
I told Hema that it needs to be in the mail and she's on it.
Hema, if you're listening, I'm just saying, feel free to put you in the mail.
And so those two were awesome to hang out with. So I spent a lot of time with the Vital Proteins people because I just did this extensive 60-day trial of Vital Proteins. I don't know if you read my epic or if you know that I did an epic post in Vital Proteins, but I actually ended up trying it out by intentionally reducing my broth consumption and eating a protein smoothie in the morning with their collagen added in and seeing how my body would respond, not because I don't love broth and think that people should eat broth, but just because I was actually doing kind of an experiment to see how, if collagen in a non-whole food form could actually give the benefit that bone broth gives. And I would still say that I feel best on bone broth, but after 60 days of doing their collagen, I still had reduced inflammation and joint pain and, you know, healthy hair and nails and all that kind of stuff, good digestion. So I did this big write-up about kind of why I did that for their brand, and with like some science in there you'll be excited about. There's like, I actually compared the amino acid profile of a serving of theirs versus other brands of collagen or gelatin. And anyway, so I had just done that and kind of am obsessed with it, and I've literally had it every day for the last 60 days. So spent a lot of time talking to them about their product and some of the other things they have coming out, like liver pills.
I am so excited about liver pills. Yeah.
So it was great to meet them. I also spent quite a significant amount of time at the Simple Mills booth. And I mean, yes, because the Simple Mills ladies were fun and I enjoyed talking to them. And they also were making their food in like these cake pop electric things, which was genius of them, by the way, so that the food was still like warm and you could eat it. My kids love Simple Mills. I love that it's like a paleo product that comes in the mail in a shelf stable.
Atlanta based, so they're local to me.
Are they? That's awesome. Yeah. But I mean, my kids can make that, right? It's one of those mixes, like add water and eggs. And so
they started with muffin mixes, but they've got a bunch of new ones now.
Yeah, so focaccia, pizza, cake, and pancakes, all kinds of stuff. So, I already knew their brand and like their brand and the kids love their stuff. But the reason I was hanging out at their booth is because there was another booth next door to it that I was, eavesdropping on.
You were just curious.
I was so curious about what was happening at that booth next door. So I,
you're talking about what was happening at booth 69, I'm assuming.
Booth 69 is in fact what was causing my attention. So,
You're going to give the rated G version of that story, right?
Yes, because I'm no longer inebriated. I am giving the version. So
this would be one of the things, everyone, the example of me thinking, wow, Stacey wouldn't have said that if she was sober. So we're going to hear the sober version of what Stacey would say.
So did you end up going to that booth?
I never made it. No. And I'm kind of sad. I feel like I missed out.
So I sent Stephanie Rupert to that booth and they were a great match, right?
I bet they were. Stephanie
Rupert was so excited about that booth. And that is exactly who that booth is for. That booth was not for me, the prude. So that booth, just like Hugs or Paleo, that booth believed that, I can never remember what your doctor calls it. The good, the healthy,
sense of well-being.
They should have called it the sense of well-being booth, but they were much more forthright, overt about what it was they were peddling at that booth. And ultimately, they were selling a cream that was olive oil based that could help you achieve a sense of well-being. they were also encouraging you to use specific methodologies and techniques to achieve a sense of well-being that was quite graphic in their description to those passerbys.
I heard, I think, five different stories of their instructions.
Listen, I'm just going to say that someone did record a video of me very inebriated retelling that exact story of...
Has that been posted somewhere?
I hope not, but it exists.
Look for it. I'm going to look for it.
It happened at Hema's party when I had drinks, and someone said to me, Stacey, tell the story about booth 69. And I stood up in front of everybody and I told the whole story.
Did you do the hand motion?
I did. I totally did the hand, and I did the leg motion. So that might exist somewhere on the internet, but I hope no one can find it.
We're putting it on YouTube, everyone. We're putting it on YouTube.
Yeah.
If it's out there, we will link to it in the show notes.
Oh my God. No, please don't.
Yes. Monica.
Monica is going to like.
Monica, I will give you an extra bonus this week for putting that in the show notes and making sure that is available to the world.
Good.
And maybe if it's not out there, tracking down the person who recorded it. So that we can put it on YouTube and then link to it in the show notes. Actually, embed it. I think we should embed it in the show notes.
I think we should not. That's this is the family show.
Okay. We'll link with some little disclaimers of this is not rated G.
I'll wrap up with my vendor talk there.
All right. So you mentioned One Stop Paleo Shop, which I just loved hanging out with them. They had hired models to dress up as cave people and just be cheesy and dorky with people. And they were awesome. I posed with them for pictures. The guy was like, you know, they were like, let's do a goofy picture. Like, pull my hair and pretend you're like yelling at me. And I was like, I'm not going to pull your hair. And he's like, no, like just grab it and pull it. I'm like, I'm not going to grab and pull your hair. He's like, it's really soft and silky. Like, trust me. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, soft and silky hair. I will pull that. But I mean, they were so just good natured and funny. And, you know, I loved seeing Jen. And so I really enjoyed connecting with them. We're actually launching this weekend. We're launching the AIP kits that are going to be for sale from One Stop Paleo Shop. So there's like a pantry kit. So it's basically, you know, what I think are some of the most important things that you could stock in a AIP pantry. And then I think what we're calling an AIP made easy kit. So it's sort of some quick snacks and some things that are just good for having around because they make AIP easier. So I really enjoyed connecting with them. I got one of the best hugs of the conference from Marty from Barefoot Provisions. And I really enjoyed talking with them. And Barefoot Provisions also has a Paleo Mom approved AIP kit, and it's a like snack and convenience food kit. So it's a very different type of product because even though there's a lot of overlap between the types of stuff that Barefoot and One Stop Paleo Shop sell, they both have these really unique products that go in a very different direction. So, and they both have AIP pages. So they're both excellent vendors and I recommend checking out them both. Every time I was thirsty, I went to the Vital Proteins booth and just drank their collagen water for free. Because they let me. And one time it was like the end of the day and I realized it was Saturday and I basically hadn't had anything to eat or drink for about 10 hours. And like food wise, I can go 10 hours without food and I'm fine. Like that's one of the joys of having a flexible metabolism. But liquid wise, I was like, I need to drink something right now. I've been talking for 10 hours without anything to drink. And so I went there and they'd actually like already like emptied out their, they had like these flavored waters with collagen in it. And they just put like regular water in the machine to rinse it out. I'm like, can I just have the regular water? They're like, sure. So I like sat there and I'm like just drinking the regular water that has like some residual citrus and mint in it. They were really good sports. They put up with me really well. Got to see, I mean, I really enjoyed actually, like I always love seeing the Victory Belt team because I formed such a like close bond with them. Like I really feel like they're family. And so it's just really nice to see them in person. I got to visit with the Granola Bar people.
Oh, those people are so nice.
They're so nice. And one of the things I told them is like, there's a lot of like nut and seed based paleo granola bars and granola out there. And the granola bars are my favorite.
Yep.
And
I 100% agree. I told them the same thing. It is literally the only one that I've ever had that is true to the texture of like what you would think of as a granola bar.
Texture is fantastic. The flavors are fantastic. They have lots of different options. They have a nut-free one. It's not AIP by any means, but it was something that I could have because almonds showed up on my food sensitivity panel. So I'm not eating those right now. And so I had, you know, like it was really important to me to go up and tell them like, by the way, thanks for sending me those samples. Your granola bars are my favorite. And it meant a lot to them too. So I was really glad I got the opportunity to do that. And then I got to meet. Yeah, go ahead.
I forgot to mention RX bars, which since we just said bars, I want to mention that.
That's right.
You and I are both love RX bars. They're actually the House of Gains sponsor for protein bars because we love them so much. They're the only protein bar that I'm eating now because I've tried about a bazillion and definitely our house prefers theirs. So I loved getting to meet them and they're coming out with new flavors and new packaging, trying to harness a broader audience and get their bars into regular grocery stores so that there's healthier alternatives to the crazy protein bars that are currently out there. And I want to give a shout out to them because I love their product. And I know you probably aren't eating them anymore because you're doing the egg thing.
I'm not, but they are actually... Not only before the egg thing, which also showed up on my food sensitivity panel for our listeners, but they were the only egg white protein bars that I've ever tried that I've actually liked. And I told them that and then declined to have one. But I actually talked with them about working on an AIP bar. So I think that will take quite a bit of time because it's a very, very big challenge. But they're up for it. So I was really, really excited about that to sort of talk with them. And then also, you know, speaking of sort of like AIP products, I had a really great discussion with Zora from Wild Zora. They have just come out with an AIP that's like a meat and veggie and fruit jerky. And they're working on a second one and a fully AIP jerky to add to their product line. So Wild Zora has AIP sort of on their radar. And I had a discussion with Epic about doing more AIP products. And they had some new ones I hadn't tried that were AIP.
I totally forgot about all their new flavors and how awesome they were.
Really good flavors. And then the other thing that one of the things that I was disappointed about when they came out with their liver and beef bar was that like it had black pepper. Like if it hadn't been for the black pepper, it would have been fully autoimmune protocol and it was very tasty. And so I talked to them like, you know, the AIP community really is the community that is going to choose like liver in convenience food form. And it would be great if we could get rid of the pepper. And then they told me that actually the liver and beef bars are like a seasonal. They're only going to have it for like two more batches, and then they're not going to make it anymore, but they're going to come out with another liver product. And so we're also going to work together to make sure that's AIP. So it's really, really neat to me. Like, as we're seeing the number of vendors with who are targeting the paleo community with their products, we're also seeing more and more of, you know, personally, I think the highest quality vendors who are also really sensible to the very unique needs of the autoimmune protocol community. So that was like really, really neat to see.
So before, I know you, I think you have more vendors, but before you move on, I want to interrupt because that's what I'm really good at. Did you see the Whole Hog Butchery that Epic did for their cooking demo?
I heard about it. I did not get to see it because I was doing a thing with a thing. I don't even know what thing I was doing.
So I ended up sitting next to the like Epic representative with the microphone and talking a lot about pork in that demo. So for people who wanted to see more of Matt and I on the live streams, go for it. But there's a lot of information about pork and cuts of meat and ways to cook things and how to utilize the whole hog and that kind of stuff. And I just thought what a fantastic idea it was that they did. Literally, they did half hog butchery and
did they break down half hog in 20 minutes?
I think it was 30 minutes, but yeah, they broke down half hog and showed people all the different cuts. Like, well, if you got this kind of pork chop, it would be with the rib. And here we're going to remove the ribs, and now it's this kind of pork chop, and then you have ribs. And there's two different kinds. And, you know, it was great information, because that's the kind of questions that we get all the time based on Beyond Bacon. And I think for the people in the audience, like, they were so into it. They were asking so many questions and really engaged. And so for what it's worth, a lot of the questions, they were like, well, actually, we're going to ask Stacey and Matt because they're here in the audience and they're experts on this stuff. And Matt and I are like, well, we've never actually butchered a hog, so we'll tell you what we know about pigs. But it ended up being just really great. So for people who, I don't know how, if and when those streams are still available, or if they'll be part of, like, you know, a package that
there will eventually be a like all access online package where, and I don't know how much money it'll be. I think it will be a package you need to pay for, but it will give you access to the video of all of the presentations from PaleoFX. So I know that last year there was quite a long delay between the conference and when that package was available. And it's one of the goals of the organizers this year is to shorten that time as much as possible. But if you can imagine five stages running constantly for three full days, there was a lot of presentations for them to, you know, do all of the, you know, post editing and whatever to get online for this. So I don't know how long it'll be, but definitely I know I'll be like sharing it once it's available all over the place. And I'm sure you will be too, Stacey. So it will be available.
I'm sorry. Go ahead with your other vendors.
My one last vendor that I want to mention, I got to meet Anthony Morocco of Morocco Methods.
Oh, I didn't even know they were there. Was he just walking around?
He was just walking around. So Morocco Methods didn't have a booth, but he specifically went to find me while I was supposed to be finished my book signing. My book signing was supposed to be 30 minutes, but 2 hours later, I was still signing books. And I like totally geeked out over, because I've like watched his like instructional videos on YouTube. And I was like, I was excited to meet him. And then he was like excited to meet me and pet my hair. And I, you know, it was like just one of those really neat like moments. And so I really enjoyed talking with him. He like impromptu shot like two testimonial videos that I guess he's going to use on his website. But I've been using their products now. I realize after the fact that I said I've been using their products for 3 years, but it's really only two, but it's still a long time for me to use any like one product and stick with it. And it's been a really interesting experience for me because I get sent a lot of samples to try of skincare, hair care, and food. Like that's what people send, and poop stools. That's what people send me. And like squatty potty and stuff.
Oh, you'd be careful what you think you're saying to people.
Poop stools, stools to help you poop.
Yeah, okay.
These are the things that I get samples for. This is what I'm saying. And every time I try a different hair care product, like I'll try it for a little bit and I'll go back to Morocco Methods. Like I haven't tried anything else that I like even remotely as much. And so I was, you know, telling Anthony that because he developed them all and it was, you know, you could just see that he was really pleased to hear my enthusiasm and, you know, talk about those types of things. So he was also like, he didn't have a booth, but I did get to meet him. And that was really fun too. And that was, I'm sure there's somebody awesome that I'm forgetting that I'll think about as soon as we're done recording.
Yeah. Like I said, I know that I've forgotten people, that, you know, we're there because there were so many, but we can only list so many people. And it's a pretty lengthy podcast as it is, especially for kind of a check-in show. But so I just want to mention the panels worth checking out. If there is a package that I really enjoyed were the Paleo Perfectionist panel and the Chef Gregory and Nom Nom Paleo Umami was not actually a cooking demo. It was a presentation about the history of umami and where to find it and what it is and why we're drawn to it. Did you know breast milk has umami? Like, just crazy. So I highly recommend that you check out that presentation. And Nom Nom started a podcast. Did you know that, Sarah?
I did not.
So her second episode is actually called Umami, which is umami pun. And she'll probably be recapping a lot of what she talked about in the presentation if you can't get access to that presentation. But
What is her podcast called? Is it
like Nom Nom, Nom, Paleo, Nom Paleo? I'm sure. Yeah. And the whole family is doing it. Like it's not just her. Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
So but yeah, Chef Gregory was another one of those people that I should have mentioned that I like phenomenally enjoyed getting to see. I won't say meet because I met him in Portland.
And another person that I knew was there that I wanted to see and I didn't get to see.
You missed out.
I did.
I got to spend a short amount of time with him and I think he's so cool. He's a really humble, super nice, talented guy. And so I just think it's so cool the kind of people that the conference drew in this year, and I can't wait to see what happens next year. I already rented the same house that we always rent every year.
You?
So we will definitely be there.
I'm just saying I'm in. That's all I'm saying.
What Matt and I are actually talking about the idea of talking with Michelle Norris about the possibility of coldering a presentation next year. We are working through some things that we should probably do a podcast on in the near future when I'll talk with him about if he's ready. And I think that if the things that we're doing continue to go positively this year, having him present on some of the challenges that he's faced over the last year and how he used some non-food lifestyle factors to deal with them, I think would be really cool for people, because I think the community likes to think that you can paleo hard enough. Like, that's kind of my phrase, right? Like, there's a solution to everything and it's food. And sometimes you and I know that food is not enough of a solution. But I think that the community is growing towards, you know, kind of natural and healthy solutions to a lot of things if and when you can do that. And that's something that our family's been working on to try to improve our lives in general. So I think that discussing some of that from his perspective would be a really interesting presentation. And so we're toying with that idea. And I'm sure as people hear me say this, they're going to be like, yes, please have the podcast, have them do the presentation. But it's really up to Cole, because that's how we parent. So we will see how that goes.
Cole, you're probably not allowed to listen to this podcast, but maybe your dad can let you listen to just me saying this one little part. I think you would be awesome at doing a presentation.
I know he would. And we would help, of course. But
I know you would help. I know. So you're like, do a presentation. Here's
do
PowerPoint.
It. Do it, Cole. Learn PowerPoint all by yourself. Yeah.
So I guess we should wrap this up. But I think my takeaway was really that this was the most extraordinary conference experience I've ever had. And that was in part because of the really outstanding organization. It was in part because of the amazing opportunities that I had, not just related to the conference, but also just related to, documentary teams and television teams knowing that everyone was going to be here and seeking me out to do filming with them. And just the amazing people, not just like the paleo people, but like the attendees were such wonderful, amazing, engaged people. And it was so rewarding to connect with them. And I'm exhausted. Like even after 11 hours sleep last night, like I kind of need a little bit of a detox, and I'm trying to do that as much as I can without doing a full, like, turn all the electronics off for 3 days kind of thing. But it was so fulfilling and just rewarding to be there. And so I want to make sure that I thank all of our listeners in the community, because another thing that happened to me at this conference was this was the first year that PaleoFX had an awards show, and they had PaleoFX awards. The nominations were taken from the community, and then voting was done from the community. And I won 4 awards at the awards show, including Health Hero of the Year, which is like a really intense statement and something I feel now pressured to sort of live up to, because I'm not quite sure. I deserve that. That's a pretty amazing title. And I just want to thank our listeners and the community as a whole for supporting what we're doing and just being enthusiastic and connecting with us in every way that they can, or that you guys can. Listen, I'm going to speak to you, the listeners. And I just want to thank everybody, because that the reason why this was such a positive experience was because of, the community.
Ditto. I also had just a wonderful experience walking around the floor and meeting so many different people and hearing their stories. And just really want to encourage everyone to continue doing what they're doing. You've said it before, best, Sarah, in that the best, we can't possibly reach everyone and be everywhere all the time. And that this concept of, we're grateful for the opportunity to inspire and connect with you all. And we hope that you can paleo it forward and continue to do that, whether that's talking with the people in your lives or starting a blog or starting up a meetup group in your local area. We all have different talents and abilities, and the more that we can continue to grow this community and connect with one another, I am literally witnessing it over the last 5 years grow and change people's lives in a way that if you would have asked me 5 years ago, like I told Arish, our publisher, earlier, there is absolutely no way I would have imagined that PaleoFX would look today like it does, after the first conference 4 years ago. So definitely that is not just us. That is all of you for, all that you do and the connections that we make together. So thanks for being around with us for actually our 5-year paleo anniversary is next week.
Happy paleoversary.
Thank you. So by the time this airs, we will have been paleo for 5 years.
Wow.
That's a biggie for us. So it is just amazing to think that how far the community has come and how quickly it's done so. And with the momentum that we have going right now, the possibilities do kind of seem endless. So thank you all for joining us on this journey. And we look forward to coming back next week and hopefully having a little bit more of a formal show for you. But we do love our Paleo recaps, our Paleo FX recaps, and we're sorry that you did not get the drunk cast, but actually I'm not actually sorry. So
given how drunk you actually were.
You know, and to be fair, it's not like I was drinking like mass amounts of alcohol, because I have told you all that
I did not say that drinking a lot.
I just want to be very clear to people that, like, I don't actually drink a lot. And so, you know, two drinks is pretty much, that's all it needs for me to be very uninhibited.
Two drinks with a little top up every couple hours.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what I witnessed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I wasn't saying you drank a lot. I was saying, I should have been clear, you drank almost nothing and yet were extremely drunk. But but you drank a lot more than I would have needed to be also extremely drunk. So next time there will be more.
Next time we'll make sure your slides are done and we'll give you a sip of something.
I am not joking about nap time being in my schedule for the next conference. That's definitely going to happen.
All right. Till next time, everyone. And we'll be back. What do we normally say?
We normally say, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, that.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
You stood me up.
I had to pee.
Unacceptable.
Well, tell me, how awesome would it be to record an entire episode with me doing the potty dance?
Is that what it sounds like? All that shuffling and noise?
Yeah. That's what it would be. Potty dance. It'd be really distracting.
Because I know you, and you know me, and we both go in a toilet. I mean, oh. I know you, and you know me. Okay, I'm going to wait for you to stop. It's the first time I've done that. Oh, Matt's going to bleep it out and put it in the bloopers.
Oh, my gosh.
How many episodes did it take before I let a curse word slip like that?
This is episode 141, but I think you did it once in, like, episode 25 or something.
I mean, that's really good odds for me, Sarah.
It's been, like, 2 years.
That's
oh, my
amazing.
Gosh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.